Welcome to Basic Brewing Radio for Thursday, December 17th, 2015. I'm James Spencer. Here at Basic Brewing Radio, we're all about home brewing. This week, Dan McCarthy shares 10, count them, 10 gruits with us and challenges Steve Wilkes and me to make the perfect blend. If you're new to home brewing or would like to get into the hobby for the first time, check out our website, basicbrewing.com, where you can find archives of our audio and video podcasts and our DVDs to walk you through basic and more advanced brewing techniques. And if you buy any of our DVD combos, you get a free Basic Brewing bottle opener, and you can check out the new lower pricing on our DVDs just in time for your holiday shopping. You still have a few days. Don't forget to get a fresh copy of our Brewer's Logbook for 2016. You can use it to log and track up to 50 batches of beer. You can follow me on Twitter. My username is Basic Brewing, all one word. We also have a Basic Brewing Radio and Basic Brewing Video page on Facebook at facebook.com/basicbrewing. We're on the Google Plus as well, a bit. Thanks again to everybody clicking on the Amazon.com associate link on our basicbrewing.com site. Whenever you think of Amazon, think of us and click on our associate link first. It won't cost you any extra, and you'll be helping us to bring you this show. And we greatly, greatly appreciate your support, especially during this busy, busy holiday season. We also have associate links for Brew Your Own Magazine and the American Homebrewers Association on our site as well. You can find our Basic Brewing iPhone app on iTunes, our Android app on Amazon.com. We have a Windows Phone app. We're on the BlackBerry Podcast Directory, and we're on the Stitcher app as well. If you want to put a tip in our tip jar, some coinage in our guitar case, you can go to basicbrewing.com/support. And thanks to everybody who has done so already. And if you make a contribution or have been subscribing through the associate link, the support link, I will send you a link to this year's bonus video and recipe PDF to go along with that video. This year, Steve smoked a beef chuck roast instead of brisket, and he made his own barbecue sauce from scratch and made burnt ends from the roast. Holy smokes. That stuff was tasty. We shot that video yesterday. I haven't edited it yet, but it promises to be great. We also shot a video episode that I hope to post by Friday, in which Steve and I share and taste our responses to Steve's Ozark Molasses Challenge. You may remember a while back, Steve challenged me, gave me a jar of molasses, and challenged me to brew something with it. So we each took very different approaches to using that tasty ingredient, but both came out good. And it was also a very, very fun show. Let's make a quick jump into the mailbag, shall we? Jim from Philly writes, I've been catching up on recent episodes, and there's been some chatter about kegging and how to do it without refrigeration. I mostly keg now and do have a kegerator, and I agree it's tough without a kegerator. But on a related note, Jim says, I put my smaller 1 to 2 gallon brews in soda bottles and use carbonator caps. I thought this might appeal to your small batch brewing side. It eliminates the need for both kegs and refrigeration, assuming your significant other will allow you to keep small brews in the family fridge. Why bother with bottles when you can just use a few 1 to 2 liter soda bottles with carbonator caps? Even when I'm not sitting down to polish off a full soda bottle of beer, I decant carefully and recarb with a bit of extra CO2. Also, there are generic carbonator cap options. So far, I've only tried one that is stainless and has a hose barb on the inside, so you can have a dip tube hose to the bottom of your bottle. It can be used for both counterpressure filling or dispensing without introduction of oxygen. Jim says, I generally take the cap off and pour carefully. So yeah, those carbonator cap things, they've got a connection for a ball lock keg connection or a CO2 connection so that you can put your homebrew in PET bottles and top it off with some CO2 from your CO2 bottle. So that is another option if you don't want to have a kegerator. We'll be taking next week off to spend some time with our families around the Christmas time, around the holiday time. And I hope you get to as well. But we'll be back the week after that with our annual disaster show, We, as I said, I think last week, we had an amazing response. In fact, so amazing that we were not able to read all the entries this year. We only read about half of the entries that were sent in. We appreciate all the enthusiasm around the show. The fine folks at Brewhaller provided prizes again this year, and our favorite entries from the show will be getting Brewhaller gear. Let's take a moment to talk about our sponsors, Desiree and Dave from High Gravity in Tulsa. I've been hearing from brewers who have decided to enter the world of electric brewing or expand their electric brewing with an electric system from High Gravity, and I hope you enjoy your system as much as I enjoy mine. You can see Steve and me demonstrate that system at youtube.com/highgravitybrew. My system is a 240-volt, 10-gallon brew-in-a-bag system with a pump, but they also have a 120-volt, 5-gallon brew-in-a-bag system with a pump and a 120-volt, 5-gallon system with no pump for those who want to go traditional brew-in-a-bag. You can check out all of those, along with High Gravity's electric 3-tier systems, at highgravitybrew.com. And for ingredients and many other items, High Gravity offers $7.99 flat rate shipping. So check all that out at highgravitybrew.com. And thanks once again for to Desiree and Dave for their continued support. Okay, let's go on to our conversation with Dan McCarthy. A while back, Dan sent us a tasty ginger wasabi beer. So we were excited to get a box chock full of 10 different gruits to try and to blend. Dan McCarthy, welcome back to Basic Brewing Radio.
Glad to be back on the show.
Now, before you sent us a ginger wasabi beer, yep. which we thought was very, very tasty and unusual. And you have set the bar even higher this time with unusual beers. What have you gotten us into here?
Well, I believe I sent you, was it 10 different gruits?
Yes.
And, well, this last year I've been kind of doing a gruit experiment every month, just trying to figure out the style for myself and what herbs I like. And throughout it, I've been doing a lot of just single malt, single herb beers, and then I figured out that I could probably just blend them all and try and get the flavors I wanted. So I did a couple blending experiments up here in Michigan, and I sent you a batch of them so you could do it too.
Yeah, and we had a lot of fun, and you'll hear Steve and me tasting and blending a little bit later. But let's lay some groundwork first. A gruit is a beer style that doesn't have hops, right?
Yes. And it uses different blends of herbs for bittering and preservation purposes.
Now, are there style guidelines for gruits, or are there traditional gruits, or constraints or restraints that you put on yourself as far as brewing these beers?
For the most part, my only restraint is I tried to steer clear of hops. Just a recent month when I did throw some hops in there because I had some left over from another batch. But throughout the months, my main constraint has been just to use different herbs that I would usually get either from a tea shop or an herbal shop or from the homebrew store itself.
Okay. Now, gruit has a long history, and I think we've done at least one gruit show in the archives, so I don't want to reach you our cabbage too much, but but it's an interesting concept. You know, I don't know that I'd call it a beer, but, you know, the Reinheitsgebot wouldn't call it a beer.
Certainly not.
So you sent us 10 beers, and what I want to do is kind of go through these and, you know, get, you know, kind of a general rundown of your strategy on making each of these and talk a bit about the different ingredients that you used and how you used them.
All right.
Let's start with the wormwood gruit. What is wormwood?
Wormwood is, I believe it's a root, and I know that it's used in absinthe. And I know I've seen it in a couple other gruit recipes I've seen online or bought in stores. That's one thing about this is I couldn't find a lot of commercial breweries that make gruits a lot of the time. There's one near by my house that has at least one gruit on tap continually, and that was kind of one of the ones that got me interested in the style itself. But for the Wormwood one, it was one of, I think, four of the first batch where I took a single mash, a single wort, and split it into 1 gallon batches. And that was in April. So it's been a little bit since those ones, but that came after the larger gruit with had a lot of wormwood in it. So I knew to bring it back a bit. For that one, I only used a quarter teaspoon at 45 minutes and a quarter teaspoon at 5 minutes left.
And these, is this just a powder?
It is. It's kind of like a ground root almost. It's not exactly a leaf, like a lot of like you see dried basil or something like that. It's more along the lines of, maybe like a ground, a coarsely ground ginger root sort of consistency to it.
And how would you describe the character?
I would describe it certainly as very bitter. And I don't think it gives a whole lot of other flavors to the beer itself besides a very tart, herbal bitterness to it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And we talk, Steve and I will go in the recording, we'll go over each of these beers and give kind of brief notes of our impressions of these. So listeners who are interested, you know, you might want to take notes and follow along.
Yeah.
If you're interested in these things. And then Mugwort.
Mugwort was actually one of my favorites I've done so far. It is also, it seems like it's a ground root. It's very light and fluffy in itself. It actually, quite a bit of it, like one tablespoon or one, I had to do it by grams because it was so light. And that one I used 5 grams at 15 minutes and then 5 grams at five.
Hmm.
For all these ones, I did a boil beforehand for like, I wanted to get this one for an hour boil. So I boiled the 5 gallons of it together at for a half hour. And then I split it off to 1 gallons after that. So each one got a 15 minute addition and a 5 minute addition.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
And the talk about the base beer that you used for those.
For this one, I kind of was trying to get ideas from some of my friends who are also in brewers. And one of them said that I should probably do Golden Promise. I think it may have been because he was also interested in how that would taste. So the first four smashes I did were with Golden Promise. So I did 10 pounds of it for a 5 gallon batch. So it came out, most of them came out right around about 5% alcohol.
Mm-hmm. And then you just used USO5
yep.
For the first two, at least.
Yeah. For this one, too.
Did you, since you didn't use hops, did you notice any change in character of the beer over time, like more tartness developing over time? Or, you know, use hops, one of the reasons we use hops is kind of an antiseptic or antibacterial or anti-bug, element. So did you notice the beers changing over time as if they had been contaminated or infected?
I didn't. Right off the bat, they had kind of that sour, sweet, tart sort of flavor to it. And I originally thought that it may have been that they were contaminated, but after 19 of them, I've seen that most of them have that flavor to it. So I kind of calmed down from worrying about that. Because I certainly haven't ruined 19 batches of beer in a row before. So I've been pretty, pretty happy with that. And So I know at least some of the herbs have antiseptic properties to them. I've also done a Whorehound and a Hyssop one with this first batch as well. Along with the Mugwort and Wormwood from that first month. And those ones also have very bitter flavors to them. And all of them, I think that a lot of them have antiseptic properties, so I haven't been too worried about it. And then also, it's not been long enough for me to see any issues with it so far. So,
The Lavender Gruet.
That one was one of my favorites. What I did for that one, there's a dandelion one and the chamomile one, is I actually went and got I picked dandelions and I also picked the greens for them and I dried both of them. And I used the dandelion greens once they've been dried for the bittering agent for all three. So I kind of felt that the flowers themselves were not going to give that balance that I was hoping for. So I used that and then I added, let me find it. I added 1 tablespoon of lavender as well, right at the end of the boil, just to get it that good floral flavor. And the lavender chamomile and the dandelion ones all were a wheat base with a 1 pound wheat DME for each of them, and a 1/4 pound amber DME.
So these are like dried lavender flowers that you'd find in a tea shop or something like
Yep,
that.
exactly. This one and the chamomile, both I bought those from just your usual tea stores. The only one that I dried the dandelions myself because I also like to do dandelion wine, so I did one of those too at the same time. And
Our
then,
friend Don Osborne shared a dandelion wine with us years ago, and it turned out tasty. And we have to give him a lot of credit because he went to a lot of work to collect all the dandelions. And of course, I gave him the business for doing that,
It's a lot of picking, and the nice thing is at the time I was working for a city up here, so I knew that the park there had no fertilizer on it or whatsoever. So I was able to get some ones that I was very safe and sure that they were not contaminated by anything. So that always helps out too.
So you did three that were similar: lavender, chamomile, and then a dandelion. Using and where did you add those different ingredients?
For the lavender, the dandelion flowers, and the chamomile flowers, I added all those right at the end of the boil. And these ones I also did a 30-minute boil, and I added the dried dandelion leaves right at the beginning of the boil at the 30 minutes where you'd usually add your bittering hops.
Sassafras, screw it.
This one was the next batch of the gruets, the smash ones I made. So this one was made alongside the other three that you had, plus a lemon balm one. And all of these ones were another one where I took the 5 gallon wort and split them up. And this one I used 8 pounds of Maris Otter. And another 30-minute boil. I did dried sassafras, a tablespoon of that 30 minutes, and a tablespoon of that right at the end of the boil at five.
And
And
sassafras is a root, right? Or
yeah, that
okay.
one's a root. I got that one from a tea store as well. That's usually known for its part it plays in root beer. And I've been interested. We've done a brown ale with it as an addition before. Not as a gruit, but just as a normal beer. And I liked it then, and it came out a little bit more of a delicate flavor than I expected for this one. So I've used it since then in other of my blends because it was another one where people really liked the sassafras blended with the mugwort. The earthy notes of the mugwort really went well with the flavors of the sassafras as well. So I've been using those ones quite a few times since then. So
And Woodruff.
Woodruff, the first time I tried this one was actually a craft brewery by my house did a Berliner Weiss, and they had a flight of it where they had three different of the syrups that they usually add to them, and one of them is Woodruff. And I thought that that sounded pretty interesting, and I went to the homebrew store, and sure enough, I was able to find a little pouch of it. And I added 1 tablespoon at 30 minutes, and then 1 tablespoon at five. And it's an interesting flavor. It's almost minty, I would say. It's still got the herbal, earthy notes to it, but I'd say the predominant thing of it is mint sort of flavored.
Yeah, a lot of these were so unusual. A lot of the flavors were so unusual that I had trouble nailing descriptors on them, unfortunately. You know, and I think I described the Woodruff as herbal. Or you know, but that's such a wide ranging, such a wide blanket to throw. Either herbal can be just about anything, so I just need to taste more Woodruff stuff to get my descriptors down. And then elderflower.
This is another one where we've used elderflower before in previous just beers. I like it a lot. It's very nice in a summer beer, and then I also used it in my Ricola mead that I had told you about in the wasabi beer episode, which turned out pretty good as well. And that one I used 1 tablespoon at 30 and 1 tablespoon at 5, and that's got a pretty good just normal floral flavor. I kind of felt that it would tell me how it would taste without like the dandelion leaves that I used in the other floral ones and see how it went. I think it was a very delicate flavor. It went out pretty well, but that's one of the ones the flower ones I am kind of interested in seeing how long they last as a preservation because I don't feel like they have much of a antiseptic quality to them.
Yeah, those three, the sassafras, the woodruff, and the elderflower, you didn't add any other bittering ingredients, right?
No, not at all. Yeah, those were just the straight herbs themselves, and I brewed them at the very end of July, and so I mean they're not too long in the bottles yet, but I've been pretty careful to keep them refrigerated since I brewed them just to be sure.
Now, the next one on the list that you sent me, it was called Groot,
Yeah.
and I'm Groot, and it was your first Gruit, brewed with yarrow, wormwood, and sweet gale, and maybe I'll leave my descriptions till the recording, and
Yeah.
then afterwards. But talk about what is yarrow or yarrow.
Yarrow is a flower. It's from what the different groots I've tasted. It's a pretty traditional ingredient. Usually it's yarrow, wild rosemary, and sweet gale. So the only thing I didn't have in there was the wild rosemary for a standard one. This one since this was my first one, I didn't know exactly what I was doing, so I went with a recipe I found online. And I think that it definitely had a little bit too much of the herbs for my taste as well. And I brewed a 5 gallon batch of this one. So I had this on keg for quite a bit, and I learned my lesson after it, and that's why I've been doing 1 gallon batches for the most part since. It had let me see here. It had Let me find the right recipe here. Here it is. Okay. It had a 1/2 ounce of wormwood at 45 minutes. This was a standard 60-minute boil. 1 tablespoon of bog myrtle, which bog myrtle is a leaf. It looks a lot like what you'd expect from like a dried basil or something like that, or oregano, kind of just dried and crumpled up. It gives a very herbal flavor. I know that's a word we're using a lot here. It's used a lot of the time in the gruits to help with antiseptic properties as well. And then yarrow is usually just the floral notes at the end, kind of what you expect from a late edition hop. And for this one, I added 1 ounce of that. And that the yarrow was added at 30 minutes, the bog myrtle was at 45 minutes. And then this recipe also called for the same amount of additions in the secondary as well. So I ended up with a 1/2 ounce of wormwood, which is more than I've used in any of my batches since. 2 tablespoons of bog myrtle and 2 ounces of yarrow.
Well, I guess it's not spoiling anything to say that it was the most powerful tasting of all.
It certainly was. And I kind of look back and I'm kind of surprised I kept going with the Gruitts after that one because that was my first batch.
I can't believe that you just drank it straight.
Yeah, that for quite a
Ooh.
bit I drank that one straight, and then I even we had my sister's graduation party that I was passing that out to other people too as well. So I also attempted it with other beers too, but a lot of them had a little taste of it.
Oh, wow.
And
It was powerful. Oh, and it also, ironically, for the amount of stuff that you put in there, it was the only gusher in the group.
Yeah, I was actually surprised when I heard that too, because all of these ones I use carb tabs for. So I was very surprised to hear that one as well, because that was in the keg too. I kind of expected that the yeast would have been a little bit knocked out by that point. Oh, I guess I bottled those ones before I kegged the rest of it. So
So it might have
it's been
been
a thing for a while.
an overpriming thing rather than a contamination thing, you think?
Yeah, I think so. I
Okay.
think they just eventually worked their way through the rest of the sugars in there.
Because I don't know how anything could live in
Yeah.
that.
Me too.
The Gruet Braggot.
Yeah, the Gruet Braggot. That one was kind of one I brewed that one in late June, and my thought was I'd age that one. It'd be perfect for right around this time of year, just something that's dark and thick and toasty. And it certainly ended up that way. I used that was a 1 gallon batch, and I used 2 pounds of dark DME and 1 pound clover honey. And then I just kind of went all over the place with the herbal additions to this one. I do a lot of meads too, so I used my spiced mead blend of half teaspoon of clove, 1 teaspoon nutmeg, and 3 1-inch cinnamon sticks for most of the spice flavors. I also decided to mess around with it. I threw in some mugwort, or all 3 of those spices were added at 5 minutes to the end of boil, another 30-minute boil. And at the beginning of it, I added a 1/2 ounce crushed juniper, 5 grams mugwort, and a 1/2 teaspoon of licorice, just kind of giving it some different bitter flavors, something that would hold up against the high gravity that it ended up being. It was at 1087 to start and ended up at 1014, so
Goodness.
it was about 10% alcohol, so.
Wow. It was tasty. I wouldn't have I would not have pegged it at that being that big. But let's go into the recording. This is Steve and me sitting and after we had been sipping and we had recorded the disaster show and had already had a split a bottle of Doug Warzynski's Creek, which was very delicious. And then so we sipped samples of these tin gruets and blended. And here's what happened. Steve Wilkes, welcome to the studio.
Thank you, James. It's a pleasure to be here.
This is was an ambitious undertaking.
I have never seen so much gruit in one place in my life.
This is a preponderance of,
How
if it's
many?
a murder of crows, what is it of gruets? This is a preponderance of gruets.
That's right, or an embarrassment of gruits.
Depending on what happens next.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Well, we've had 10 beverages of which to sample and then blend afterwards. What is your general overall impression?
Herbal tea that's alcoholic.
Now, that is a wide net to cast.
It is, actually. I've had gruit maybe once in my life before today. I think at one of the NHCs, I ran across somebody that was serving up gruit, and it was good, and I liked it. There really weren't any of these that I didn't like, except for that one that we won't even talk about.
We'll talk about
I know. But anyway, there was one that really, you just can't drink that. But it's a blender. And that's a, I'm
Spoiler
foreshadowing.
alert.
Yeah. They're really good. The flavors were nice. They're cleanly brewed. So nothing was, infected in any kind of weird way. So they were well made. I have to say that in every case, I really wanted some hops in there. Now, I know that that's not what a gruit is. I get that. But every one of these, I would taste it and say, think to myself, wow, that's really good. I really like that. I wish there were some hops. So it makes me want to brew, say, with chamomile or mugwort or whatever, as a predominant flavor, and then give it that hop backbone. So that's my general impression.
What is it that you miss about the hops?
I think the way that the bitterness that hops brings to a beer. There's a couple of these were had some bitterness going for them. I mean, the particular herb that was used had a bittering quality, but it wasn't hops. And I think there's a reason why hops became the herb of choice. And so I like the idea of gruit, and I enjoyed all of these. I truly did. I don't think there was any of them except for the original Groot that really I just couldn't drink. But and the my favorite, if you want to know, My favorite was the dandelion, the pure dandelion gruit. I really thought that was very drinkable, and just again a little hop background in there, a little Fuggles in the background, and that would be a great beer. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's a great gruit.
Yeah, I think the dandelion one, dandelion gruit brewed with dandelion flowers, dried dandelion leaves, wheat DME, and USO4. I think that had the more of the, I wrote down tart and clean. It had kind of a tartness, mm-hmm. had a clean character that was interesting, but it was the least kind of adventurous of all these to me.
Yeah, I agree. My notes were that it was very nice and tasted like my yard.
Face plant ale.
That's right. You know, you're a kid and you pick the dandelions. And you, I mean, I really did get the essence of that. So you know, think back to you're a little kid. You got in your yard. You pick a bouquet of dandelion flowers for your mother, and it has a smell, and you remember that smell. And I really did get that in the gruit. And I liked it. I actually quite liked that one a lot.
Okay, let's do a speed round. Since there are 10 of these, it's a lot to say.
Right.
Okay, Worm Smash, which was wormwood gruit brewed with Golden Promise and USO5.
Malty, tart, good, flat.
Yeah, lambic tartness, I said, flat and neutral, I said. So, Mug Smash, which is mugwort gruit brewed with Golden Promise and USO5.
Pleasant, tart, spring-like, babbling brook in the shower. Shire, not shower. That would be Irish Spring.
But I like it too.
I like it too.
I put more tart than the Wormwood Smash, and I got a little bit of a. I described it as plastic. You didn't get plastic, but there was just something. There was something a little extra in there. It wasn't objectionable, but that's the only descriptor that my brain could hang on to.
Mine came up with a spring-like quality. It reminded me of springtime.
Did you grow up in a landfill?
No.
No. I'm just kidding. There's no landfill in that. Okay. Lavender gruit brewed with lavender dried dandelion leaves for bittering and wheat DME and USO4.
I wrote down good underlined, which meant I really liked it. This was the first one that I wrote down that I wanted some hops. Mm-hmm. So I really liked the flavor. I got the lavender out of it, and which I like, and I cook with lavender sometimes. So I really liked that flavor, and that's about it.
I said floral, spicy, and a little bit of peppery. And I think that's the dandelion leaves maybe brought a little bit of a peppery thing. But it wasn't floral in the context of grandma's bathroom. It didn't go that far, but it was very tasty, very nice. And I got to say that Susan, my wife, was here and she ran out. But she was in here. She was tasting these and she enjoyed them as well, which is except for the more sour ones, the more tart ones, she didn't like so much. But that is her. That's the way she goes. Okay, the chamomile gruit brewed with chamomile, dried dandelion leaves, and wheat DME and USO4.
Pronounced chamomile flavor. This really tasted a lot like chamomile tea to me. So the chamomile really came through. I just wrote very, very pleasant and nice bitterness.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with chamomile, so I said sweet. Could that be kind of a sweet thing? Sweet yet tart. It was kind of a balanced, almost kind of savory slash sweet character, but tartness as well?
Definitely, yeah.
Okay. The dandgruit, which was dandelion gruit brewed with dandelion flowers, dried dandelion leaves, and wheat DME and USO4. I said that was tart and clean, so that was kind of the bitter, you know, nothing but a clean bitterness kind of a thing.
Yes, I agree with that, and other than very nice, that was my favorite of all of them. I think I said that before.
Ooh, really?
I really, really quite like that one a lot, and again, tastes like my yard.
Okay, Sassafras Gruit brewed with Maris Otter and USO5.
I wrote not much going on here. I didn't particularly care for that one. It wasn't bad. It just was kind of like kissing your sister. There just wasn't anything happening.
Yeah, I just wrote down tart. It was just slightly tart, not and kind of flat otherwise. Woodruff Grit, brewed with Maris Otter and U.S. of I.
You know what? I didn't put any notes down. I remember that I liked it. It was, I don't know what Woodruff really is supposed to taste like. It seemed a little sweet to me. Mm. It wasn't a bad thing. That's just how it came across.
I described it as herbal. I just don't know how to describe Woodruff. I've had Woodruff syrup in Berliner Weisses, but I don't know enough about it to describe what Woodruff is. Yeah. So I just said herbal, and it was good. I liked it. I mean, there was only one that I didn't care for, but it will move on to that.
Yeah.
Okay, Elderflower brewed with Maris Otter and U.S. of I.
Grandmotherly.
I just said it reminded me of the Elderflower ale that I brewed. With a listener from the UK sent some dried elderflowers over. And you remember that. I brewed that elderflower ale.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was good. Again, it was like most of these. It was herbal and nice. It was like drinking an herbal tea, you know, but with a little kick of alcohol.
Okay, the Groot. This was Dan's first Gruet, he says, brewed with yarrow, wormwood, and sweet gale. And I got to say that it was the only gusher in the batch.
Yeah,
it jumped out. It wanted all of it wanted to leave the bottle. None of it wanted to stay behind. But we salvaged enough to sample it. And
this was not drinkable on its own. Mm-hmm. It was extremely bitter. I think actually that's the wormwood. Mm. My little experience with wormwood is in Now I'm having a senior moment. Anyway, wormwood is a very bitter sort of taste. And
wasn't that the movie about the woman with the nuclear power plant?
That's right. Yeah.
No, what was that?
Oh,
something wood. Oh,
yeah. Well,
I shouldn't bring up a joke if I can't finish it.
That's right.
But no, it wasn't drinkable on its own. No. I took a sip and I nearly fell out of my chair from the grimacing.
Yeah, you did. And although we learned that we could use it to blend with.
Spoiler alert!
Oh!
Okay, and then the Grew Brag, an experimental gruet braggot brewed with mugwort, licorice, juniper, cinnamon, clove.
Big holiday-esque licorice, high gravity.
Yeah. I said that it reminded me of my fruitcake barley wine.
It did.
Which has the kind of... you know, it's got the molassesy, the brown sugary things, the spices, lots of spice. I liked it. I liked that one. I don't know that it might have been my favorite, but it was darn tasty.
I think it's my second favorite. I think it was very tasty too. I just, for me, the dandelion one was unique. Definitely a gruet. The braggot version, the braggot gruet, was almost too beer-like.
Huh.
So, in other words, it was like a beer that couldn't quite figure out it was a beer. Though I liked the taste quite a bit.
Silkwood.
What?
That was the name of the movie, Silkwood.
Silkwood. Sorry.
Follow along. We'll be sending out show notes.
I'm having trouble keeping up.
Okay, I'm trying to read my notes that were the Groot jumped out of the thing all over the page. Okay, so our challenge was, and this was almost overwhelming, was to try to blend some of these 10 beers together. And what was your strategy? How did you go about that?
I did two. I did a chamomile, elderflower, and dandelion. In that I knew that I'd like the base of the dandelion, and I think the elderflower and chamomile would work well together, and indeed, I thought that they did. Mm-hmm. The second one I did was from your brewing, or your blending. I did the braggot, the woodruff, and the lavender. Mm-hmm. I did roughly equal parts of the braggot and the lavender, and just a splash of the woodruff. I mean, I'm sorry, wormwood.
Was it the Groot?
The Groot, yeah, Groot, but it had wormwood in it. That's where I was remembering. So I did those three, and I liked that quite a bit. Now my final one that I did was a suicide. I blended them all.
You did them all together.
I just dumped them,
and it was pretty good.
It was damn good. So there you go.
And it looks like a beer. It looks like a fine beer.
It looks like an English brown ale.
but it's got a lot more interesting character. I started with a base of the lavender gruit, and then I added almost equal part of the braggot because I wanted the spice in there and I wanted the dark character of that braggot. But then when I mixed them, it was a little too sweet for me, so I went to the gruit. I went to the gruit that was undrinkable on its own, and I put a splash of that in there, and it came out really good. It came out really balanced, very drinkable, and even Susan liked it. She was brave enough to taste the gruit on its own, and she didn't like it. But those three beers, or gruits, blended together, came out with something that was really nice.
Well, I really enjoyed this experiment. It was a little overwhelming. These are a lot of flavors to digest in an hour or two, you could do this forever. I mean, when you've got 10 different variables in terms of the different liquids that you have to blend, good Lord! I mean, you know, to come up with the one that was the best. Say, if you were going to try to market something commercially, you'd really want to dial it in. But what a great, it kind of makes me want to go make something like this.
Yeah.
In whatever my own way might be. But so I'm kind of honored to get to taste all of these flavors in a malt base. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a lot of these flavors, I mean, I've if you drink herbal tea at all, you've had all these flavors before, or most of them. And so to get these, you know, in a beer, it's really nice. But I didn't see anything. He's obviously not from the South because there was no poke salad.
The poke salad.
Poke salad gruit wasn't in here. And I don't get that.
A little poke salad and some collard greens.
That's right. There's no collard greens.
Well, that's the next episode. Well, thanks, Steve.
You're welcome, James.
So we had a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun, and everything but the original gruit we liked.
Yeah.
And even we even were able to use the original gruit to balance out my blend. So that's just another indication. If you brew something that's too strong or too something, as long as it's just not totally nasty, hang on to it and do some blending, you know, if you don't want to waste beer.
Yeah, that's certainly something we found, especially with that I Am Groot, is that it blends very well with the other ones. When we were doing the blending, I hadn't brought it out yet, and as we were getting towards the end of our tasting of them all, I'm like, oh, let me bring this one out, and like everyone tasted it. They were pretty blown back by it, but then when we started blending it in with the rest of them, it worked really well, so...
Yeah, so talk about how you sent us. We weren't as formal as you were, I don't think, because you sent us little score sheets or little slips of paper. Mm-hmm. What happened with your tasting, your blending?
Well, I had two different ones. The first one ended up a little bit earlier this the year when I didn't have all of the different types with them. That one we only used the first four, so that was the Wormwood, Mugwort, and then we had a High Sap and Horehound as well. And then the one we did recently, I just invited a bunch of people from like my friends group and then also from my homebrew club I'm a part of. And I marked out like a 1 ounce on a whole bunch of different shot glasses. And we went around, we tasted all the different ones, and then we just started mixing them together. And I had a little sheet there that had the blender's name on it, the herb, and then how much they put in it and like what they rated it and their notes on it. And then I was able to take all those, and then I've been actually brewing some of them afterwards. Hmm. So the top blends from that one was a 1-1-1 of 1 ounce sassafras, 1 ounce mugwort, and 1 ounce chamomile, which everyone really liked that one. Hmm. And a 1.5 to 1 of elderflower, chamomile, and sassafras, which everyone really liked that one. They said it was a great summer beer and easy drinker. So those are ones that I've kind of taken what I learned from those. Like the sassafras mugwort was a lot of people's favorites of at least the blend, and they added things to it. So I've been working with that in my later ones as well.
Yeah, it's when you have 10 samples in front of you, it's kind of hard to figure out where to start. So I guess my theory was that I started with one to use as a base that I liked, and then just added other ones that I liked the certain components from. And that, you know, that kind of having a strategy like that kind of helped calm down the confusion a bit.
Yeah.
But it was interesting that Steve and I took, you know, different approaches, and we both came up with, you know, completely different final blends, but they were both very good.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, it was another one of these situations where 1 + 1 = 3, you know, because the resulting blended gruit was better than, in my opinion, the individual components by themselves.
Yeah, I agree. And I found that a lot of people really enjoyed the experience, and I keep getting asked by the same people who were actually at the blending experiment to taste the ones that we've made afterwards. And they were really, I had one of them was at my house recently, and we tasted one of the blends I based off the Sassafras Mugwort Chamomile. And they were really excited to try it because that was actually their blend that they had made, and it turned out really well.
So did it? So you actually took the suggestions from your participants and based recipes on those blends and actually brewed that way.
Mm-hmm.
Did they turn out to be just like the blended beers, or were they different?
For that one, I actually added a little bit more. I went a little bit further and added a little chicory to it too. So it was just a little bit off, but it turned out really tasty. And then I did another one. Where's the other one at? Let me find it.
But this is another reason to do small batches.
Yeah. Yeah, this has been something that it's really helped with doing small batches, certainly. And the thing is, I just got so many. Yeah, flip through so many pages to find the ones I want. Let's see. All right, here's one of them. Yep. So this one was from the earlier one, and this one I dubbed these ones the second tier gruits. Because they've been building off the other ones. So this one was another 30-minute boil. It used just 1 pound of DME amber. And I added, at 30 minutes, a half teaspoon wormwood, half tablespoon wormwood, half tablespoon mugwort, and a half tablespoon hyssop, which was also a very bitter herb. And then I added a half teaspoon of horehound right at the end. And that one ended up kind of the same spot as a lot of the other blends that you saw were. They're very herbal. They're still quite bitter. And that one, I think, suffered from not having the other 1 gallon batches to blend with, because that was one that we figured out earlier on. The one after that, with the chicory in it as well, that one had the Sassafras Chamomile and Mugwort, and I really liked where that one went, and I've been using that kind of blend of Sassafras and Mugwort since then as well in other batches.
Now, what do you think of Steve's assertion that he enjoyed all the beverages except for the one?
Yeah.
But he missed the hops.
I've seen that before too. I kind of, after doing a lot of the tasting and things like that, I still have a lot of gruits to go through. And it's getting to the point where I am also missing hops too. So I've been doing like side batches of just normal beer as well.
But there's nothing that says that you can't do, you know, like even a low IBU charge of you know, just a fairly neutral bittering hop at the beginning of these things, just to get, you know, that familiar hop bitterness, and then, you know, add the other ingredients on top of it to give it a more interesting character.
Yeah, exactly. For the second tier one, which had the Sassafras Chamomile, chicory, and mugwort, all those ones were 1 tablespoon added at 45 minutes of a 90-minute boil. And then I also added at 60 minutes of that one, a half ounce Cluster and a half ounce of Cascade, which I had left over from a stout that I was also brewing on the same day.
Oh.
And what it kind of ended up where I just didn't want to freeze that little amount, so I just threw it in there just to see how it went. And I think it really helped just balance it out. It gave it a little bit more body to the flavor, because I feel like a lot of the at least the smashes, the single malt, single herbs, had very little body to them from the actual herbs. So, and I really like that, and I think I might even in future ones just add a little bit of hops at the beginning, at least to help with this keeping it non-infected, but also I think it helps give a little bit more depth to the flavor.
And you're still doing 1 gallon batches. All the amounts that you said in these past couple, three recipes are for a 1 gallon batch?
Yes. That last one with the chicory sassafras cameo, that one was a 2 gallon batch.
Oh, okay.
I think it ended up, yeah, it ended up at 1 gallon because I boiled it for so long. Well, that was second runnings from my stout I had made, so I kind of wanted to condense it a bit. It kind of got a little thin there.
To show you how we're recording this in the evening, and it must be time for bed, because I was going to correct you. You said it was a smash, single malt and single herb. I was going to say, no, that would be a SMSE, because herb doesn't – oh, yeah, it does.
And then this last month, I actually went daring again, and I went up to a 5 gallon batch once more. And this one, I kind of went a little bit more crazy, because I think I got a pretty good idea for the herbs, so I went back towards the grain. So for this one, I did it was a rye gruit that was 5 gallons, and I used 7.5 pounds of two row, 2.5 pounds of cherrywood smoked malt, 2.5 pounds of malted rye, and then 8 ounces of Crystal 60. And I wanted to go with something that would give a little bit more of the spicy and the smoky flavors as well as the herbs, because I figured that would help balance it. And it's a little bit of a heavier beer as well. And for this one, I added a half ounce mugwort at 60 and a quarter ounce wormwood at 60, a lot less than that first batch. And then and then right at the end, I added a half ounce mugwort, 2 tablespoons of sassafras, and 1 tablespoon of yarrow, kind of going back to that same blend that we got off that blending experiment. Just instead of chamomile, I added a little bit of yarrow. Same sort of herbal flavor to, or a floral flavor to it. But chamomile has a little bit of a distinct flavor that I felt would be lost with the rye as well. So,
well, that's cool. You're definitely these single malt and single herb experiments has definitely given you a lot of confidence, I can tell, in formulating these more complex recipes, because you know what you are going to get. You have an indication of you know, the flavors that there are, and especially blending all these together. You know, you're not just having a shot in the dark when you're formulating these recipes. So I think it's really cool that, you know, in this exercise, I can tell that you are building your confidence as you know, a recipe generator.
Yeah, like from the very beginning, I always said that I wanted to do this kind of to get my own 23 herbs and spices, my own special blend that I could just use whenever I wanted to do a gruit. And I think it's really helped. All these little experiments have really helped build good beers from it.
Yeah. So. Well, it was certainly a lot of fun for us. And man, I'm glad that you shared them with us. And, you know, I think that it's given Steve and me inspiration to kind of branch out into this area as well, and at least add this to the list of things that we want to do. So I appreciate it, Dan.
Oh, thank you. And then I started this in February, so still got a few more months of it. And if anyone's interested in finding any of these recipes, they're on my I've been doing a blog with this, just kind of talking about how I've been going through it. And that's at yearofgrewit@wordpress.com.
Awesome. Thanks, Dan.
Thank you.
Thanks again to Dan and to Steve, of course. That was quite an assortment of gruits, and I continue to be amazed at the quality and variety of homebrew out there. Seems like there's always something new, just when you think you've had it all. Remember, we're off next week. I hope you all have a wonderful time with your families and friends. And thanks very much to everybody who has purchased Basic Brewing gear during this busy holiday season. And we look forward to the Disaster Show being posted week after next, the last show of 2015. Holy cow, this year has gone so fast. If you have brewing questions, show suggestions, or just want to say howdy, write to james@basicbrewing.com or just fill out the contact form on basicbrewing.com. And please don't forget to tell us where you're from. You can check out our support link, where you can throw a couple of bucks into the tip jar by subscribing financially to our podcasts. And when you subscribe or contribute, you will be sent a link when it's finished to our bonus episode. This year, Steve smoked a beef chuck roast and made his own barbecue sauce. You'll also get a PDF of the recipe for those things, too. Be sure to check it. That's at basicbrewing.com/support. Be sure to check out our DVDs, Extract Brewing and Partial Mashing, Stepping into All Grain, Low-Tech Lagering and Decoction Mashing, and Introduction to Wine Kits. You can find them all on our site. You get a free Basic Brewing bottle opener with any DVD combo, and you can check out our Basic Brewing shirts in the store as well as our logbooks, where you can track and log up to 50 batches of beer. You can see a listing of the fine folks across the country who sell our DVDs on basicbrewing.com. And if there isn't a vendor in your area, you can order them online in our online shop at basicbrewingshop.com. Thanks to everybody who's continued to click on our Amazon.com link. We appreciate the support there. Our featured products this week that were purchased through the link are FinFun Mermaid Tail for swimming and Poo-Pourri Before You Go Toilet Spray. It seems like I've said that before, but it just makes me laugh. I know, I'm juvenile. Thanks again, and remember, I can't tell who bought what, so no worries there. Just click on the Amazon.com logo on our site the next time you feel like Amazon shopping. We appreciate your support. And don't forget, you can also join the American Homebrewers Association and subscribe to Brew Your Own Magazine through the associate links on basicbrewing.com. That's all until next time. Until then, thanks for listening, everybody. I'm James Spencer, production help for Basic Brewing Radio, and our website is provided by Kelly Dodson. Basic Brewing Radio is a production of Active Voicing. We'll talk to you next time, everybody. So long. Ho, ho, ho.